Adam. Welcome back to Bringing It Backwards, a podcast where both legendary and rising artists tell their own personal stories of how they achieve stardom. On this episode, we hung out with Celine over Zoom video. Celine was born in Istanbul in Turkey, was only there until she was about 1 year old, and then her family moved to the UK, kind of bounced around there a bit, lived in Northern Ireland and Scotland and London for a while, then back to Northern Ireland. And when she was entering high school, her family ended up moving back to Turkey. Came from a musical household. At least her dad was very musical, used to play guitar to her mom's belly when she was in the womb. And he always aspired to be a musician, but ended up giving up the dream and going into business. So when he noticed that his daughter had a itch to sing and had an ear, he really jumped on that and nurtured Celine in her musical journey. Celine talks about singing with her dad from like age 5 on. At 9, she started a YouTube channel with him and they would do different cover songs. She wrote her first song around 11, 12 years old, ended up attending university for music at a conservatory in London. When she graduated, she put out some music and was trying to pursue her dream as an artist. Then COVID hits. She has to move back to Turkey, trying to figure out what she's going to do with her life. She puts up a bunch of videos with her dad, and some of those go viral. This then draws the attention of different producers. So she's working with different producers and DJs. She ends up getting signed to Warner. We talk about that. And we talk all about her new song called Cool, which is amazing. And an EP she's going to be releasing all in Turkish. And she also has a bunch of new songs in English to put out as well. But Cool is the latest song. It is incredible. You can watch our interview with Celine on our Facebook page and YouTube channel at Bringing It Backwards. It would be awesome if you subscribe to our channel, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Bringing Back Pod. And if you're listening to this on Spotify, Apple Music, Google Podcasts, it'd be really amazing if you follow us there as well. And hook us up with a 5-star review.
We'd appreciate your support if you follow and subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're bringing it backwards with Celine.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Is Celine, correct? Is that how I pronounce it?
Celine, like Celine, Celine Dion.
Oh, it is, yeah. Celine. Oh, yes. When I was watching an interview with you, but it was in Turkish, I believe. And yes. The person said their name so quick. And I'm like, did you say Celine or Celine?
Yes. Some people say in Turkish is like Celine, but I prefer Celine.
Oh, okay. That's what he said. Celine.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Thank you, Celine. Yeah, thank you. Appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me. Can you hear me okay, by the way?
Yeah, it sounds great.
Okay, perfect. Cool.
Yeah.
I'm in my grandparents' like summer house. So I'm in like the conservatory. So if there's like my grandpa might walk by from the back.
Oh, I'll wave to him.
Okay.
I love that room you're in, though. It looks awesome.
Thank you.
It's like a cool green little room. Green room. Exactly. Yeah. It looks awesome. Very cool. I'm Adam, by the way. I don't know if I introduced myself.
You did, but I did some stalking. So.
Oh, rad. I did some stalking on you as well. Cool. So we can talk about it.
Yeah.
This podcast is about you and your journey in music. And of course, we'll talk about, I think you have a new EP coming out, but I definitely love the song Cool. I've been listening to it all morning.
Oh,
yeah,
thanks.
It's really good. It's really, really good. But yeah, cool. I'm excited to learn about your story.
I'm excited to talk.
Well, let's hear about it. Where were you born and raised?
So I was born in Istanbul, Turkey. We lived there as a family, but then around 99, because of my dad's job. And also there's an earthquake at the time, but mainly because of my dad's job, we moved straight to the UK because he was working with Hilton Hotel at the time. Okay. So it involved a lot of moving for our family. So when I was like 1, we moved straight to UK and we first went to Northern Ireland. And then again, because of hotel, we moved to Scotland and then London and then back to Northern Ireland for 6 years. And then it was around 2011 when I moved back to Istanbul and I finished my high school studies there. And then I moved back to London to finish university. And then the pandemic happened. So I moved back to Turkey.
Oh, wow. Okay. Are you in Istanbul now?
Right now I'm in Izmir, which is another city in Turkey.
Okay.
So my mom's from here, but I am in Turkey. Yeah.
Okay. Very cool. Wow. That's a lot of moving around.
Lots. But right now I live in Istanbul.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. So you spent, you said high school in Istanbul and then you moved back to London for university.
Yeah. Like okay. most of my, I finished middle school in the UK and then kind of the end of middle school, beginning of high school in Turkey.
What is like the culture shock there? Is it quite different from Turkey to the UK?
Not really. I mean,
I'm American, so I don't understand anything about like the, proximity cool. or anything like that. So I'm just so bad.
No, it's cool. I don't think it was that different for me because I was young and quite used to moving around. And also I never actually went to a Turkish school. I went to an international school. So my teachers were all American or British. So I was kind of used to that system. All the friends I had were international. So we were kind of just used to people from different cultures and countries coming and going every year. So I think we kind of just grew up in this like melting pot of culture. So there wasn't a culture shock. And because my family's Turkish, I was already kind of familiar with everything.
Sure. So when you moved back for high school, did you go to a high school also in Turkey that was international or was it all?
Yeah.
Was it just Turkey?
Yeah. Okay. So the one in UK was a fully British school. So there we did have uniforms. It was a little bit different. And then when I moved to Istanbul to finish high school, it was still a British American school, non-uniform, which was really cool for me because I'd worn uniform for 12 years and then to
move
to
uniform
was really cool. But yeah, again, it wasn't much of a culture shock. I think the whole moving around got me used to just constantly adapting to different environments. So I was kind of lucky that I didn't feel that like pressure of like a different culture or anything. So it was quite easy.
Was it easy to like, as now you're going from non uniform to, but you're going into a new school, a new country. Were you like concerned about your outfit? Was that like a whole, week preparation?
I mean, I got, cause I mean, now then I understood like the cool side of having a uniform. Cause no, you just like slapped on the uniform and you went to school and no one really cared. But now I was like, am I allowed to swear in this podcast?
Yeah, you can say whatever the fuck you want.
Okay. I was like, shit, people are actually like dressing up and looking cool. And back then, like, because like it was 2011, like the thing that was in was like t-shirts with like cool signs on it. So I was like, oh my God, mom, we have to get like really cool shirts and stuff for me to wear to school. So like there was that like kind of trend of like fitting in and like what they're wearing and stuff. So there was that, but it was not really that much pressure.
Yeah, but I mean, it definitely adds a whole another layer to it, right? Because instead of just showing up and wearing the same thing everybody else is and kind of just getting used to everybody personality wise, like now you got to show up and like make a statement with your clothing as well.
Yeah. I remember when I first came, and the first day was the hardest for me because I have this thing where like I can adapt to accents very, I mean, I don't know if it's as good anymore, but I used to do really good accents. I think I still can some of them. And I had a very strong Northern Irish accent and they're like, it's a very strong dialect. And I adapted that accent in primary school. So when I went back to when I moved back to Turkey and I'm in the international school, where it's all American and people with American, like British dialects, I came with like the strongest Northern Irish accent that they didn't really understand what I was saying. So I was like, oh my God, I have to like kind of shift the way I'm speaking now as well.
Oh, weird. Wow. I can't imagine that here, like just how you're speaking now. I'm trying to like hear what that would sound like.
It's a strong accent. It's a really nice accent. And then when I meet up with my Northern Irish friends, I can still get the accent back sometimes.
It comes back right on. So when did you get into music? I did read that you come from a pretty musical household. Is that correct?
Yeah, my dad, I mean, in general, it was very musical household, but my dad was the main music character in my life, I think.
And did he like play anything or like how did he influence you?
So the story begins, as he tells me, when he was young and like my age and kind of growing up, his father never let him pursue music. He always wanted to do like theater and music. But I think back then, also in the culture, but also just like, you know, as a family tradition, I guess they wanted him to just go into business and do that. Cause music back then, I don't know, when someone said, I want to do music, it was kind of like, oh no, okay. That's not going to happen kind of thing.
But even so now, I mean, it's not viewed
as a career sometimes.
Well, but it's just so subjective that like, it's so hard to get to where you're at is insane. Right.
It's definitely hard. And I can understand why some families might be worried that, you know, it's not going to work out. So I guess his family was a complete no for music, but he bought a guitar and he gave singing lessons around school. He joined his school musicals and like, he was really musically enriched in music, I guess, at the time. And he even got accepted to a conservatory, but his father didn't let him. So he ended up going into business. So I guess he always had that almost like suppressed musical ambition in him. So when he obviously met my mom, they got married and they had me, he was like, I'm going to make this child a musician. This is my project child.
Right. But now he gets to live his life through you. He's live out his dreams as far as that goes.
I love it too. Don't get me wrong. Like I'm loving it too. But I think it's nice to know that like I have his full support. I'm doing what he would love me to do as well, what he would want to do. So I guess it started like before I was born. He would tell me like he'd play guitar to my mom's stomach. And then like when I was born, there'd always be old records playing around the house. And then I think it was around the age of 4 when he kind of, like he would still play guitar and sing around the house, but I think it was around 4 or 5 when he heard me like singing in my room. And then he was like, oh, here it begins. Come to my room. And then he played the guitar and he was like, okay, like let's sing together. And I think then he like tested out my voice, I guess. And then I think that's when he was like, okay, she has an ear. Let's go.
Okay. Wow.
So it kind of began from there, I guess. And then I obviously kept singing around the house as well. Yeah.
What was he playing? Like, do you remember like what type of songs?
He around the house, he would always play like he was very rock rooted. So he'd play a lot of like Santana, Pink Floyd, Van Morrison, Stevie Wonder. So I kind of grew up with those records, obviously Turkish music as well. But at the time we were living in the UK when he discovered my musical ability. So I think it was also like Dire Straits, like what was really in back then as well. So we grew up on that. But I think the first I'm not sure what song he first tested me out with. It was probably a nursery rhyme or something, whatever was good then. But yeah, I was kind of raised on a diet of like rock, I would say.
Okay. And when he realized you can sing, you go into voice lessons and you kind of pursue the musical theater and that road, or was it mainly just music?
I never really had vocal lessons. I had a couple, but it would be wrong if I gave them the credit. It was mainly genuine practice with my father for like hours. We started a YouTube channel when I was like 9 or 10. So that was very useful in training me as well, because it was kind of, of course I had like lessons in school with teachers and stuff, but I think it was really good with my dad because he had no shame to kind of be like, no, okay, let's do this, let's do that. And I would have no shame to like talk back and speak back what I wanted to. And what we did was we had the YouTube channel. And I, you know, what was good then, like Christina Aguilera, Beyonce, who was good then, like I have like Celine Dion covers there, some old Rihanna covers. Like every week we would listen to a song and would kind of, I would try to copy the technique in that song. So therefore try to grow my vocal palette technique. So I think through doing that and through mimicking and imitating, I kind of started developing like different colors and different techniques for my singing palette. So that was like the main way I trained, really. Of course I had a couple like lessons to check in more with the actual anatomy, I guess, in a way, but mainly I would give credit for the work we did at home. So
So you had a YouTube channel that early on. Yeah. Is that channel still exist somewhere?
So Cool is on that channel. If you scroll all the way down,
Didn't do enough digging. Okay, now
there'll be like the video when I'm like 10 or 9 singing Celine Dion.
I'm gonna look that up after this interview. That's cool. So you've always been kind of obviously comfortable in this situation where you're talking to a computer screen, or
I think
like,
so.
Yeah. Like I've noticed, like even with your TikTok, you're just like so comfortable just going on and being like, See, I feel like an idiot. I can't do it because I just feel too old and cringy when I'm doing
honestly,
it.
Honestly,
like,
for TikTok, I'm struggling with that as well. I wish I didn't have to say this, but even like I'm feeling like the pressure of TikTok sometimes. Love and hate.
I could never tell that. So that's cool. So you're doing the YouTube thing, and is that something you continue? Like, how long are you continuing with the YouTube channel with your dad?
So we kind of like now it's not as active now. We do more on Instagram. We have Instagram videos together, and some of them went viral in Turkey, like some covers we did. But we continued we did the YouTube thing for a good 10 years. I'm not sure, 8 or 10 years. Like, we put a good video out every like twice a month and once a month. And then I think we shifted to Instagram because it was more consuming of like, we had IGTV a couple of like 2 years ago.
Still doing this with your dad? How come I didn't see any of this?
If you actually check, maybe you didn't think he was my dad, because a lot of people ask me like, oh, who's that man in the video with you?
Oh, maybe that's
Wait, maybe if I can show you like just really quickly. I know people are listening to this, so they can't see.
No,
but...
they can see too. We do the
Oh,
video.
so that's my dad. That's like on my Instagram.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. So yeah, I didn't realize that that was your dad. Now it makes sense.
Yeah, so we still post some stuff together.
That's awesome. So he must be so proud.
I think he is. He's a tough guy sometimes where he's like, yeah, all right, let's focus on the next thing. Let's do that. But I know like there'll be moments where he'll be like, I'm very proud of you. And I'm like, thanks, Dad.
That's cool. What about with your music and your songwriting? Was that something he's ever helped you with?
Songwriting has been really mainly kind of just something I've always done. I mean, he's always encouraged me, like, you know, you're a great singer, but I always have been aware that I think for me at least, and for many others, kind of to establish myself as a strong musician, I want to have other things that I'm also, other muscles that I improve while I improve my singing. So the main thing for me was songwriting, because mm-hmm. I think it's very important for every musician to kind of tell their like original, not even story, but just like to be able to hear what this certain musician has to say, you know? So I think for me, songwriting has always been very important. And I love telling stories and like writing in my diary. So I think it started from that and it shifted to making that into songs.
Okay. When did you, and actually before I ask that question, did you get into like guitar lessons, piano lessons, anything like that?
My dad got me a guitar when I was like 9 and I did start playing a bit and I wrote one of my first songs on the guitar, but then I think I got a little bit bored and then I started taking piano lessons, but then I got really bored with the like teachers. I don't know. I felt restricted.
Yeah.
I got so restricted. So I was like, okay, screw the lessons. I'm just going to kind of do it by ear. So now I think I can't say like I play professionally, but I definitely play enough to like sing on stage with it or write music with it. And I produce a bit. So that's really helped me. Like production has really helped me with like making my demos and sending it off to producers. So I would say piano and production and like a little bit of guitar.
Okay.
But yeah, so those are my instruments.
Wrote your first songs though on guitar.
I wrote my first, I wrote a couple songs on guitar. Because I don't have much knowledge of maybe a normal guitar player, I kind of take what I can do and I use that to write songs on the guitar sometimes.
Well, yeah, so I've interviewed a lot of people that basically just learn the chords so they can use it as kind of a vehicle to write
That's
songs,
what you
right?
really need.
Yeah.
But I can't, my first song is not released. It was called Sunshine or something. I still have it in like a little notebook, but it's an unreleased like first demo of, I guess, a song that I wrote, but I don't know where it is right now.
What was it like? What made you want to write a song? Was it just because the progression of where you were at musically and you just knew that this is what you wanted to do? So you're like, oh, I guess I should write a song.
I mean, I think from the, you know, ever since I started the music thing with my dad, I think that's when I was like, okay, music is what I want to do. I think it was until the age of maybe 11, I didn't actually know I could make it a career, because I always thought like, I'm just good at it. So I'll just, you know, go into the school musicals or talent shows and do that. Mm-hmm. But then I think it was the turning point for me was actually at the end of middle school when I played Gabriella in High School Musical. We did High School Musical for our school play.
Oh, wow. That's funny.
So when I got Gabriella, like that's for me, that was almost like a turning point, because I was like, holy shit, this is what I want to do. Like on stage, singing, dancing, the choreography, all of it. Like, this is what I want. So I think my love for the whole thing started around then. So then I knew I could turn it into career. So songwriting naturally came with it later on.
Okay. And once you start writing your own songs, do you perform anywhere around, you said you're in Northern Ireland before you moved back to Turkey, or when you were writing songs, what, when you got back to Turkey? Sorry, I guess I'm trying to figure out timeline.
It's a complex timeline. I think the official genuine songwriting started when I moved back to Turkey when I was like 12. And I would say, presentably, I was writing good for the time, around like 12, 13, I think. But then genuine songwriting at like 15, maybe.
And were you playing or showing your songs to anyone? And what about showing them to your dad too?
No, I didn't actually show anyone. I would sing a lot, and the covers were very active. But the songwriting part, I never really showed it actually until I almost got to university. I don't know. Until then, I didn't feel like I wanted to show my songs. It was mainly just, you know, presenting my singing and what I could do like that, and going into talent shows and competitions. That was kind of what I did, but it was always going on in the background. But I don't know, I never really knew how to kind of, it's really weird when you think about it now, because now that I'm in the industry more, there's a whole process to like releasing a song and showing off your music, that back then it was just, it didn't make sense to me. So I was like, oh, one day someone will hear my music.
Right. And it's changed so much too. I mean, you know, instead of putting it up somewhere, now you got to put it on all the Spotify and all these different services.
Yeah.
But so once you decide, like once you decide to go to university, you go as a songwriter, like what was your major when you went to school?
So the school I went to was like, it was like a music conservatory. So I went into this branch called creative musicianship, and the main focus was vocals, but there was songwriting in it. It kind of a bit of everything. It was a almost like a performance course. So I got my major in creative musicianship, vocals is what it was.
Okay. And do you, like when you get into the school, do you have to submit like a demo? Like how did you get in?
So I was, because I was overseas, some of them I had, so I auditioned for a couple conservatories, and so for some of them I had to, I was originally going to go into like a jazz conservatory because I got into one that I really wanted to get into. I don't know what happened, but I decided not to go to that school because I got accepted into the school that I went to. Mm-hmm. I just, for those, I had to prepare some songs and some monologues and, a couple like musical pieces that they wanted to hear. But for this one that I got, that I ended up going to, they were okay with an overseas audition. So I submitted a video and like created a link. So I think that's how they took us in.
Okay, cool. And with the songs you were doing with your dad, the covers, were you always kind of going between English and Turkish? Like, I know that's something that you do now.
Yeah.
Or have been doing.
Honestly, it's actually very new for me. I didn't sing in Turkish, properly put it out there singing in Turkish until the pandemic.
Really?
Which is like 2 years ago. I mean, I remember I used to do, I think they have it ever, you know, So Far Sounds. They have this thing called So Far Sounds. They have it in many countries. And I started doing them in London every week. And that's the first time I added a Turkish song into my repertoire, like a cover. And people really enjoyed it. So when I moved back to Turkey, it was the pandemic. I mean, it's a weird time. Everyone's like, what the fuck am I going to do? What am I doing? Right. What should I put? I should be active, but what with? So then my dad was like, let's just sing, like, let's try something in Turkish, because I'd never done it before. I was like, okay, yeah, I'll do that. And then we did it. And then I think that kind of got us in a loop of doing stuff in Turkish, actually writing music in Turkish, also for me during the pandemic. I'd never really done it before.
Oh, interesting. So were you at school, or had you finished school when the pandemic happened?
I thankfully, and I'm so happy that I'd graduated in 2019. So I got to have my whole graduation ceremony.
That's
and
amazing,
graduation
yeah.
showcase. And then pandemic hit and I moved back.
So for your graduation showcase, now I'm curious, what did you do? Did you perform original songs or covers?
Yeah, I performed one of my own songs, which was really cool. It was the school did a really cool thing where at the end of every term, but the biggest one was at the end of the year, they would pick mainly the final years to do a performance, but they'd pick a couple of us and they'd like rent out a massive, like, I'm not going to say arena, but it was a big concert hall and all the students would come there. It's like a party, but we're giving a concert because we're a music school. So it was a lot of fun.
That's
fun.
Cool. That is cool to be, especially to be chosen for that. What was that like?
Yeah. It was cool. We all have to audition. So it was like, you get picked for it.
Big deal. Really cool. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Wow. Okay. And then once you graduate, were you trying to make a name for yourself you were in London? Is that what you said?
So I was at London when I graduated and I was still living there. I didn't know I was going to move back. I started working. I mean, it's such a shock for music students because for the 4 years that we studied, it was like full on like music lessons, this, that. It was almost like we had to manage ourselves, do everything ourselves, put on our own concerts. Some students along the way got signed and they didn't come back to school. Like, it was a strange school. It was like you fully had to hustle. Mm-hmm. And then I think by the final year when we graduated, we all had enough, most of us had enough tools to kind of continue doing our own thing. So but it was a bit of a gray area for a while because I was like, whoa, like I'm not in uni. I don't have this reason to go to uni anymore. Like, what do I do with my life? So it was a bit of a what's going on, like a bit confusing because it's a very dense market as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I guess I kept gigging and I was working on the side. And then when the pandemic hit, I had to move back to Turkey, which was again, really hard for me. That was very hard for me because of the whole shift. Cause I just started building a career in London. Things are about to happen. You know, some potential labels were getting involved. And then like I moved back and everything shut down everywhere. So it was a very like, oh my God, like what am I doing with my life right now? Is anyone even going to listen to what I have to put out? But it was also good. I don't know. It was a weird time, but I think.
Right. Cause how crushing. I mean, you start building this thing, you finish college, you're like, okay, now I'm going to build my music career. It sounds like, yeah, you said you had label interests, so people are noticing you. And then, there's this pandemic. Now all of it's going to go away now. So when the pandemic hits, is that when you started doing more of these videos with your dad?
Yeah, I think when the pandemic hit, I was always doing, you know, I was putting out music when I was in uni as well. I was always writing, putting out music, but it was moving a little bit more in my own, like a bit slower, but in my own way, but like slowly but surely it was moving. And I think at the pandemic, it was kind of like a shock, but also like a kind of a major change to do something a little out of my comfort zone. So I was like, okay, I'll just try doing Turkish. And then we started doing that. And then I did some collaborations with some DJs while I was here, some big names here. And it kind of like a snowball effect. Everything then just started happening. And now I'm very thankful of like where I'm at and like where things are going. And then the label I'm with now kind of noticed me. So yeah, it has been good in terms of the pandemic in a weird
way.
Yeah.
No, for sure. What was the first video that kind of got everything rolling for you as far as like your online presence?
It was one of the Turkish covers we did with my dad, but also I did a featuring with I wrote a song and we did a featuring with this DJ here. So the song we did with him kind of got some attention. And then I performed here with a really big name in Turkey that kind of got attention. I think everything kind of was like a puzzle piece. It just kind of like slowly grew and they were like, oh, okay, there's this girl. She's doing this. What's up? And I think that's how maybe I got their attention.
Oh, wow. Okay. And I love the Arctic Monkeys cover you did where it's yeah, that one's really cool. I watched that.
Wait, which one was that? The TikTok one.
Yeah, the TikTok one.
Oh, with my friend. Okay. Yeah. That one. Okay.
Yeah, that was a cool one. I need to dive deeper into the videos with your dad.
If you go on my Instagram, it's like full just videos with my dad.
Okay. Yeah, I was cruising through your TikTok a little bit and your Instagram. I don't think I was on maybe you have to go to your reels.
Maybe.
Yeah. Anyway.
I want to be more active on TikTok, but I should. Yeah.
Whatever works, right?
Whatever works.
Okay. So when do you start writing these songs? Because I love the song Cool that you have released. And is this a part of a EP or a project that you're going to be putting out?
I think at the moment, so there's a Turkish EP that I'm working on, which is the first time I'm like fully writing in Turkish. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do this because I'll be so proud of myself in the end if I can do this and say like I did that. So I'm working on a Turkish EP, but on the side, I have so many songs because my native language is English and I have so many songs in English as well. So there's no pending EP right now, but I am thinking after a couple more of my English singles, I will start to kind of construct like an EP and put that up. But for now, I think I'm just going to roll out with a couple more singles and then maybe just put out an EP.
Okay. Yeah, I was curious, and you kind of answered my question there, because you do have songs, recent songs that you've put out in Turkish. So I was wondering if you're going to do, like, if those are all going to fall in the same project, but it sounds like you have a project that's coming out all Turkish and then one in all English.
Yeah, I think, like, I'm kind of, not that I'm keeping them separate. I think the Turkish one does have more European influences, like there's going to be some English in that too. And my English stuff, even if it's very subliminal and very minimal, I put a kind of like Turkish spices, as I call them, in the songs, whether it's even just the drum partition or the string section. Like I want to put something of my culture in there, because regardless or not, I grew up with that music, so it's going to kind of be there automatically. It's kind of like in my DNA, I guess. So I think when the next song or two that I put out, maybe I'll make it a bit more obvious that it's there. But yeah, I kind of both worlds, not that I'm keeping it separate, but both worlds, I want to give them both their spotlight, but still like put a bit of each in both, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense, because I mean, even then too, if you put a record out all in Turkish, like then you can kind of not isolate, but you can put it out to an audience that understands the lyrics more and understand what, and then the English album that's, or English EP or whatever you decide to do, more in that realm. So you're kind of covering both sides instead of maybe having a record that's half and half. I mean, I don't know how you do it, but like that.
Maybe I'll
do
that one day. I don't know.
That'd be cool. Like a double LP.
One I have a song English called Gidip Gel, which is on my Spotify. That's full Turkish and English, and that has like got, that's because that was I did that with an American he produced it for me. But if you check that one out later, that's like fully Turkish English.
Yeah, no, I did hear that one. I was listening to your Spotify. Yeah, no, oh, it's cool. It, yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, you, because you have that one that bounces back and forth, and then some that are all in Turkish and then all English. So with, well, I'm curious, when you got signed to the label you're on, you're on Warner, right?
Yeah.
And getting that deal, what was that like? And how was your, like, I wonder what your dad's reaction was, because it's probably like, oh, my daughter, like, she did it, like, she made it in this industry that, you know, he wanted to pursue.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I think when I was younger, I would always be like, oh my god, like, I want to be signed to a record one day and, you know, do this, and it seemed like an impossible thing, and it still feels like, I don't know, it's still, because it's weird, when you're in it, it's still the same, like, yes, things have changed in terms of the way things are rolling out is different, but the amount of work that I still have to put in, the it's not like, okay, I'm chilling now, everything's going to be done for me. It's like completely opposite. Now I have to work even harder to, like, be like, I'm here, I'm present, I'm working, like, you guys can focus on me. I have to kind of like prove myself even more. And now that there's an actual thing happening, there's no time for me to kind of sit back and just like not do anything, which is not, I was never planning on doing that, but it's like a bit more legit now that like everything I do is going to be put out. Because even with Cool, that was actually we put that out, but it was actually written 2 months prior to putting it out. So it was like, it just happened like that, because everyone liked the song and the label, and I was like, okay, shit, let's put it out there. So it's just like, boom, it came out. So it's kind of exciting to know that everything I'm almost making now is coming out, which is nice. And I think my dad, he was, I guess for him, because there's a bunch of labels kind of approaching at one time, he was kind of like being skeptical around all of them. So for him, when it happened, he was like, okay, good. Like, this is good. But obviously he's still the same too. He's still like, you still need to work really hard.
Right. Well, I've heard our other artists say that once you get the deal, it isn't right. Like what you just said, like, okay, no, now I'm signed. Like, I get to kick back and everything, God, you know,
no.
I'm going to, you know, whatever. Definitely not. It's like I've been told it's like you get moved from the kids table to now you're sitting at the big table with kinda. But now it's like, okay, now, well, what are you gonna do? Like, all you did was you got moved seats, but you have to prove yourself at this table and to stick around, right?
Definitely. So yeah, the work continues.
Sure. Well, tell me about, you said Cool was written 2 months before you put it out.
Yeah.
I, like I said, I love the song. I think it's such a catchy, like, I think it's a hit record. I think it's really good.
Thank you so much.
Tell me about writing that one.
So for that one, I went to a session in London, and there was a producer and a girl called Mickey, producer Gil Lewis, Mickey Blue, shout out to them. So we wrote it together. We came into the room and I was kind of like a little bit angry about a situation. And I was like, you know what, let's just write about this today. And I kind of said what I was a bit angry about. And then Mickey was also like, yeah, I've had like a similar situation, and we all kind of like bonded over this one topic, and then it just started rolling out, and it was really fun doing it, because it is therapeutic. It's genuinely like, I came in there with this like bit of sass and anger in me, and then by the end of it, I was like, well, great, I have a song, like, thank God I was angry. So it's really nice. And I think, I don't know if I should say this because I'm so scared people are gonna, like, they're gonna hear this, but I don't care. So when I wrote this song, it was about it started off with a certain someone in mind. It was like a bit of a petty kind of like bittersweet kind of song. And then it was the first time, because this person then later reached out to me and they were like, I really can't believe that you're putting a song like this out. Like, I'm a little offended. And so I was like, oh shit, like, it's not actually like fully about you. It's kind of about the concept of like exes and all that. And so I was like, but it felt good in a way, because I was like, this is what it feels like to put out something real and get like a reaction from real people. And I was like, shit, I could get used to this. And so, yeah, like, I had no bad intentions while writing it. I mean, but at the end of the day, it is what it is. You know, the events happen. They do. I mean, musicians come with warnings. Like, if you're going to date a musician, just know there's going to be songs written about you.
Of course. So, and right?
I warn everyone that comes into my life. But it was really fun. It felt like it felt kind of relieving, and also a bit weird to witness for the first time that, oh, I'm actually getting a reaction from someone like close.
Right.
So yeah, it was a strange feeling.
You should have been like, you're pretty vain. This isn't about you. Like,
it started off with the idea about you, but I get why you
I'm
might
kidding.
Be offended,
yeah. Right. Or you fine. Say, no, that was about this other person. That was this more recent person, not you.
It was a mutual thing. But yeah, it was nice. No hard feelings. It's all good. But yeah, it was a funny experience.
That is funny. What are the others? Like, you have more songs in English coming out. You said that you're going to roll out more singles.
More.
I know Cool is so new, but I'm just curious, like, are they all kind of in that same vein? Like, I love the style of that song. Like, how do they sit when it comes to comparing it with that one?
I don't know. I think I have this thing where, like, I've never kind of been like, right, I am this genre, this is what I'm doing. I think because I consume so much music and I see so many genres every day and I see all these new musicians, I almost get like fed with different genres all the time. So I've never fixate on like what it has to sound like. But I think like the next one I'm putting out is quite an emotional one. That's a bit more piano, synth, pop kind of track. Like a bit more different to Cool. I think they still sit in a similar area, but it's a bit more different. It's a bit sad. It's more sad actually. So it's very mixed stuff, which kind of excites me as well. Cause I love it when I hear different, I guess different versions of an artist in a way. Mm-hmm. I love Bruno Mars and I love Miley Cyrus as good examples for this. Cause like every time they put something out, it's like different. And I love just hearing the shift in their genre, the shift in the way they're writing a song or the sound. So I think I kind of stopped restricting myself to you have to sound like this, to more like, you know, whatever you kind of sing is going to sound like Celine, but just like maybe a different color of Celine. So the next one is going to be more emotional. That's what I
love it. Very cool. Well, I appreciate your time today, Celine. Thank you so much for doing this.
Oh, thank you for having me. Honestly, how long have we been talking? I could go on.
You can go on. It's only been, it's been about 35 minutes or so.
Cool. No, this is really cool. It's nice talking to people about music.
No, this has been a lot of fun. I have another question though, before I let you go. I want to know if you have any advice for aspiring artists.
Advice. I think myself, I'm still an aspiring artist. I can't sit here and just say, oh yeah, like this is, I've done it. But I still consider myself aspiring and growing and trying to improve every day. But I think the best piece of advice that I give myself and I'd want to give others is genuinely, I guess just, it's going to sound so cheesy, but you have no choice. You can't give up. Like you just have to keep going. I mean, I've been told this too, like keep going. And I was like, okay, whatever. Like that's not useful, but it's so true because there's been so many downfalls and so many moments where I'm like, oh my God, like there's actually no point. It's just so hard, but it would be, don't compare yourself to people around you and just keep going and doing you. Because at the end of the day, I think people compare a lot because they think like, oh, there's someone really good. That doesn't mean that you're not good. That doesn't mean that their journey isn't stopping your journey. It's two different journeys. And as musicians, everyone listens to different kinds of music. Because if we all had the same genre, the same success story, the same path, it would be a bit boring. So I think what's really nice about being a musician and being in a pool of musicians is that everyone's kind of doing their own different thing and telling their own story. So that's why I say, don't compare, don't try and compete, be the best that you can be and keep going in your original path, because that's what's going to genuinely stick out. And I have to remind myself of that too, because it's a dense market. But I think when I kind of say, right, this is Celine's path. So she's going to continue like this. And anyone else around is kind of doing their thing. So it's like, we all need to just be like, yeah, cool, everyone's doing their thing, amazing, let's just keep going. So yeah, it would be just don't get too stuck and caught up in like trying to compare and trying to compete and do all the complicated stuff in your head. I think it's just do your thing, because that's what makes you stand out and will make people notice you. So I think
I love that. I've never asked a follow-up question to the advice, but I'm curious because you said something that I'm interested on. Other people have said, you know, don't give up, whatever, blah blah blah. But how, when you get to that point, how did you push forward? At like what point, like, you know, you graduated from university and you're doing the thing, but this is right before mm-hmm. COVID, and you're like, oh my gosh, like, is this ever? Am I ever going to get my break?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how did you fight through that to just continue to move forward? Do you like have a moment that you remember like being felt like defeated and then you just said, whatever, I'm just going to do it? And like, how did you do that?
I had many moments of feeling defeated. I still have them sometimes, but I think every time I feel that, I do channel it a lot into the writing process and the music. And In fact, one of the songs I did put out in Turkish, it's called His, but in Turkish it's pronounced His. And that is genuinely about the feeling of, like, you know, feeling stuck and not having anywhere to go, and kind of like saying literally, like, well, what the fuck do I do now? I'm like, right, so stuck. What's the point of going forward? But after I wrote that song and I put it out, I got feedback in a way that was like really, like, it inspired others. And I think when I heard them feeling, when they felt something through something that I wrote, it made me think, okay, like, I can't stop, because at the end of the day, I always tell people, whatever, it doesn't have to even be just music. Like, if you're angry or upset with something and you feel stuck, I think just channel that into whatever you're doing. Like, do it with that anger, do it with that passion. Like, oh, they got a promotion, all right, whatever, I'm going to work harder to do what I can do. And I think that just keeps driving you, because I know that if I stop, like, okay, I've only, like, proved to myself that I can stop, but no one actually cares. No one will care if I stop, maybe apart from my family and friends. They'll be like, what are you doing? But at the end of the day, like, you are in this, how many years of your life? I don't know. You're doing this for you. So if this makes you happy, why would you stop? Of course, we're going to feel shit sometimes, or we're going to want to be like, right, fuck this, and take a break. But at the end of the day, if you look into the bigger picture, like, there's something I love doing, there's something I'm good at, there's no point stopping. So just keep going, I think. That's what I constantly remind myself.